thank you all for being here. What a great day it is in Denver, Colorado, on this mid-September day. Let me thank the other members of our city council who are here. We're going to hear from Councilwoman Rama Kanish in just a moment. But I want to recognize Councilman Chris Hines and Councilwoman Jamie Torres, who is here today. Are there other members of council? I just want to make sure I don't miss anyone. Councilman Flynn and Councilwoman Stacey Gilmore, thank you. Thank you all for being here. Will you all join me in thanking our city council partners who are here with us today? And I want to thank State Representative Jesse Danielson, who is here. Did I say it right?
That's right.
All right, I want to make sure. Who is here, who sponsored this legislation that we are moving to act under at the state legislature last year, and we appreciate her leadership. Let me jump right into this. Several years ago, and I know it was at least 3.5-4 years ago, because he was still Vice President of the United States, Vice President Joe Biden and I had a private conversation. And that moment, during that conversation, he said something to me that stuck in my craw. He looked at me and he said, you know, Mayor, the greatest threat to our nation and the sovereignty and the liberties of this great nation of ours is 4 decades of wage stagnation. And until we as a nation figure out how to settle and deal with that issue, to bring up the wages of the workers of this nation, we're going to continue to have these spontaneous disruptions in our communities. That conversation left an indelible mark on me. And in further conversations with members of my family, I am blessed to be the uncle of 23 nieces and nephews. 23. Some of them are just a couple years behind me, but that we'll talk about that later. I'm the youngest of 10. You figure it out. But most of them are budding young professionals, starting their careers. And I have many conversations with them about the fact that the wages and that they're working under continue to create moments and opportunities of challenge for them in order to find a decent place to live and to be able to afford it without being overburdened. And that's why it's important to me to support raising the minimum wage at the ballot box here in Denver, Colorado. It's important to me and my team to explore how we can make progress on this here in Denver, Colorado, and to meet the needs of our workers, to make sure that we hear their stories and we're able to support them. The beauty of what Representative Danielson did for us and the state legislature did was that it gave us the power here at the local level to enact minimum wage increases based on the needs and the demands of our local economy. For decades, wages and incomes have been falling behind other rising costs. That means more and more families haven't been able to keep up. That is what wage stagnation does. It's a national challenge that has met the pain, and a lack of opportunity for too many people for too long. Our workers here in Denver deserve a raise that is long overdue. That is why Councilwoman Kanish and I worked with stakeholders earlier this year to raise the minimum wage for our city employees and city contractor employees. That is why we both supported the Community Coalition and the state legislature's work this past session to let local governments in Colorado set a more appropriate minimum wage for our own communities. And that is why today, Councilwoman Kanish and I are proposing to pass an ordinance this year to raise the citywide minimum wage starting on January 1, concurrent with the effective date of the new state law. This will mean a raise for Denver workers to $13.80 on January 1 and $15.87 on January 1, 2021, and a raise based on the Consumer Price Index, CPI, every year after that. But most importantly, it will mean a raise for more than 100,000 workers who live and work in Denver. 100,000 workers and their families who will be able to better afford housing, food, childcare, other daily essentials, and so much more. Denver's going to lead the way to higher wages and a more inclusive and equitable economy. Because a raise for Denver's workers would mean families can better support themselves and better afford the city that they helped build. Per the state law, we've already begun our extensive outreach to stakeholders and groups about our proposal. And in October, in partnership with city council members, we will be holding a series of town hall meetings to gather input and feedback from Denver residents. We'll have more information on those very soon as we get all the details finalized. This is a conversation that should have happened years ago in Congress. But in their failure to act, we've decided to act here in Denver, Colorado. Our goal is for every one of our residents to be able to access the success and opportunity our city has experienced over the last 8 years. So we must take this opportunity to open the door for them to access it. With that, I am proud to bring up my partner on this, the Honorable Councilwoman Robin Caniche.
Good morning. I'm about as excited to be here on these sunny steps as I was the last time we were for our swearing in. I think it was about a year ago, Mayor, that we were in a meeting with Professor Richard Florida and civic and business leaders, and we had a tough topic. We were talking about how huge segments of our community were being left out of Denver's prosperity and why Denver can't be the city we want to be if we don't find a way to tackle income inequality. And that was the first inkling I had that maybe the next partnership between our offices was born, that wages would be the next thing we worked on. And here we are, a year later, with our second minimum wage proposal, first for those who served our city, and today for the entire city. I first want to take a minute and acknowledge the community leaders behind us. Who here helped to work with the legislature to change this law? All right, let's give them a hand. These two buildings face each other, but what we have in common is the need to listen to our communities about our needs. And they worked with legislators like sponsor Jesse Danielson, our Denver delegation, and all of the others who voted to give local communities like Denver the opportunity to address our local needs and tackle this challenge. So like the mayor, this issue is personal for me. I was raised in a blue-collar family, and my parents in their construction and factory worker union wages were what made the difference between working hard to make ends meet but not living in abject poverty, right? We used a little unemployment to fill in the gaps in between, but it was those good wages that ensured I had a roof over my head and food on the table. And I want to acknowledge the many families in our city today who are stuck in poverty, even though they're working jobs just as hard as the ones my parents worked. And even though they're not working just one job, but two. That's why we're here today. So raising the minimum wage is about reversing structural inequality, but it is also personal. As a country, we are facing the 400th anniversary this year of the beginning of slavery. And we are seeing an unprecedented backlash against our immigrant, refugee, and Latino residents who've lived in this country longer than some of us. And we know that there are vestiges of racial inequality in the wages that many people of color in our city earn. Take a moment to absorb this. Nearly two-thirds of those who'd get a raise by the time we reached 1587 in our city would be people of color. Nearly two-thirds of those who would get a raise under this proposal, people of color. So a wage increase is racial justice in action. And it's personal for African Americans and for Latinos who will have a better chance of staying in their community. Here's another fact. More than 30% of all of the women working in this city, more than 30% of all the women working in this city would get a raise by 2021 under our proposal. A wage increase is gender equity in action. And it's personal. It's personal for a single mom who might get to spend a little more time with her kid because of this. But raising the minimum wage, whether it's structural or whether it's personal, isn't just about making ends meet. A review of the research demonstrates that the greater the economic security, it improves health outcomes. Raising the minimum wage is associated with reduced depression, reduced suicide rates, higher improved maternal and infant outcomes. And it even increases access to medical care. Get this, not because of the insurance, but because the worker can afford to take the time off work to go to the doctor. If you raise the minimum wage in our city, if we raise the minimum wage in our city in partnership with my colleagues on the council, we will be improving the health of our residents. So, yeah. Thank you. So while we're on research, I want to say a word about the questions we know are going to come next. We're going to talk about the structural and personal impacts on businesses in our economy. On the personal level, I want to speak to the businesses large and small in our city. We honor you. You are important to our community, and we know that this proposal may involve hard changes for some of you. Not for all of you. Many businesses in our community are already paying wages higher than those we've proposed. Most, in fact. But we know for those of you who will have to give your employees raises that this can be hard. I hope we can be partners in thinking through those costs, but also in helping you think through the benefits. We are in a very competitive labor market. We know you are having a hard time attracting and keeping workers, and we believe that increased wages will help because the research shows us that it does, as does our common sense. We all stay in jobs longer when we are compensated better. So we hope that we can give you some calculators and some ways to think about the benefits of lower turnover and less vacancies in your employment. On the structural level, I gotta say, the minimum wage debate is a little bit like climate change. Can you find a study out there that says that it's gonna destroy your economy and there will be no jobs left? You absolutely can find that study. But what is the consensus? With every city that has passed minimum wage and every year that has passed, we have more and more research that demonstrates very clearly that neither employment rates, business creation, or prices are significantly impacted by wage increases. The most recent studies, the most thorough studies, those with the lowest margin of error, and those done by the most neutral researchers have come to pretty strong consensus about this. And we've got a whole list for you if you need those resources. Raising the minimum wage must be done for struggling workers, and our businesses can adapt and thrive. We believe in your creativity and your resiliency, and we are here to support you in that process. So today is just the beginning of this dialogue. We've put forward what we sincerely believe is the best proposal for Denver at this time, but we also know we have to hear from everyone. There are things in this bill that, under the wisdom of the legislature, we won't be debating. So a few more details about the bill. The tip credit is designated to be the same as the state's. That's $3.02. So that's not something we will have a lot of dialogue about. The legislature, in their wisdom, which we strongly agree with, said let's do this in steps. So the proposal you have is in line with the state legislature, no more than a 15% increase in 1 year. We support that, and we've adopted that measure. We can't create different wages for different sectors of the economy. So those are a few things we know from the state bill. But there are things that we want you to learn about in the bill. We, for example, will be asking our auditor's office to do the enforcement of this bill. And we want everyone to learn about the enforcement and give us your feedback on that. We know we will hear about the wages, but there are many aspects to the bill we need to hear from folks. So we hope that our whole community will help us grapple with both the costs and the benefits of this proposal. I believe Denver can and must become the city we want to be, one where we all share in the prosperity, where we take on the hard work of adapting to make that possible. Economic stability, racial equity, health, and the quality of life for our workers and their families are all at stake. Thank you. I now want to bring forward a few speakers to talk a little bit about how this proposal would impact them. The first speaker is Kelly Bowman, and she is a participant with Metro Caring, and we also have the executive director of Metro Caring here with her. So if you guys want to come forward first, please.
My name is Kelly Bowman. I've been a member of the Metro Caring community for a vast amount of years, and I strongly support the increase in minimum wage for several reasons. It doesn't just affect me, but my peers as well. I currently hold a minimum wage job for $11.10 an hour. My coworkers and I love going to work. We love what we do. We contribute to the community, and yet we still cannot take advantage of everything in our community. I can't afford things like nutritious food, dental floss, toothpaste, extra health care for my allergies. We don't make enough to afford housing. Most of us live in shelters, are homeless, or live in subsidized housing. I frequent Metro Caring. I cannot afford RTD because of the increase in their transportation. We need a higher minimum wage, and in fact, we need a living wage. So we must continue to fight for this, for Colorado as a whole. Thank you.
And I failed to mention, for those of you who don't know, Metro Caring provides food, security, education for our community and has been a longtime partner. The next speaker is Daniel Ross Shaw. He is a participant in Cross Purposes, which works to coach households into bringing themselves and their families into self-sufficiency. So Daniel, you want to come forward? Thank you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you. Hello, everyone. I just like to say thank you for everybody who's here to support this. For something that seems so small, but it can make such a big impact. Raising the minimum wage will allow me and so many people like me to be able to just raise the quality of life and not have to worry about the stress of being able to pay bills, going to the hospital, being able to just live with your family. I mean, it's a big thing, but it seems small. I just really want to make everybody just say thank you for it. I wasn't really expecting to speak, but thank you guys.
And last but not least is one of my favorite businesses in Denver. Adam Alleman is the owner of Denver Game Lounge, which is a business right off of Colfax and East Colfax. And it's a wonderful restaurant, bar, and you can lose at Scrabble every time you play if you're me. So Adam, would you come forward and tell us a little bit about this proposal from your perspective? Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're celebrating our first anniversary on Saturday, so you're invited. You can check us out at denvergamelounge.com. But I'm a big supporter of the triple bottom line, and this is clearly something that falls into that purview in community. And you know, the restaurant business is a long game, and even though I've been in business for a year, I still haven't seen any profits. But which is, you know, fine. I mean, that's kind of the plan. In the same way that, you know, the minimum wage increase isn't going to just immediately spark, economic prosperity, but it'll take some time. But I think it's something that we should all be working towards. And it's going to be a boon to my business because I know in the long run, I'll have more customers. And that's pretty much the most important thing in my business. Without a bottom line, I won't have a triple bottom line. So thank you for the leadership in Denver here to make this happen and in the state legislature, because I was part of the, you know, I did testify on behalf of the state bill. So thank you very much.
I want to thank all of you for being here, and thank you, Councilwoman Kanish. I know she's not slated to speak, but we've got to have our state representative who had the courage to bring this bill. I know you're not prepared. Come up here. You're elected. You got to come here. Let's say a few words on why you brought this bill forward.
Okay. And thank you, Mayor Hancock, and all of the council for having me here today. I really just came to support Denver in this incredible step forward for the hardworking people that make this city run. Yeah. They're taking a very, very important first step and leading the way that I hope the rest of the cities and counties across Colorado will follow suit. Raising the minimum wage is a very simple way to help workers meet the basic needs, whether it's housing, childcare, education, putting a roof over your head. They work hard. It's time that we do right by them and let the community decide what the basic minimum wage should be for the workers who run that community. And that is why I brought the bill. That's why I partnered with Denver and a number of other forward-thinking local communities to get this thing on the books and allow the local communities to decide what's right for the hardworking people in their local community. And I will just briefly say to the folks behind me and to all of those who came to participate at the legislature, you made all the difference. I see a bunch of really hardworking folks that took time out of their day to come down and tell us why the minimum wage wasn't working the way that it was. And so we needed their perspective. Business leaders from all across the state came to tell us why Their best practices, meaning raising the minimum wage a little bit higher, is doable for Colorado businesses and will help the economy as a whole. So again, for those organizations and individuals that helped us alongside Denver and other cities and counties across the state, my gratitude as well. Thank you very much and have a great day.
Thank you, Representative. As we close to open it up, let me again simply say this. As a city, when you think about what has made Denver so successful, is it really boils down to our willingness to tackle the tough conversations. It may make us all uncomfortable, and no doubt that this one will be one of those conversations. But when you really get down to it, it reminds me of a conversation I had with a gentleman on the 16th Street Mall one day. When he walked up to me and said, "Mayor, I understand this economy is booming, but what about those of us who are not able, have not been brought along? When does the leadership of the city stand up and say, today we stand for them?" And that's what this conversation is going to be about. Tough conversation, not easy, but one in which we as a city will say we're standing up for the workers who helped build this great city that we're so proud to call home. So thank you all for being here. Let's open up for Q&A.
Small businesses, does this apply to full-time and part-time workers, and does it apply to contractors?
We already addressed it, but the reality is the state law took care of that as well. There are no exemptions for small businesses, only for the emancipated young person or youth in the economy. But so for nonprofits and small businesses, there are no carve-outs in the state law.
And contractors and full-time and part-time?
Yeah. The way the state bill reads is it says the minimum wage shall be paid to all adults and emancipated minors. So we feel like the proposal is that we have to pay the wage to all adults and emancipated minors, and we will have a discussion about youth as part of the stakeholder process.
Mayor, I'm saying I'm a small business, I'm looking to locate, and I got a location in Denver, and there's a location in Aurora. And Aurora has a lower minimum wage, and I have a lot of minimum wage workers. Don't you lose out on that?
You know, the reality is I don't think so, because at some point in this very tight labor market, Aurora's going to have to join, because those same employees are going to want to come to Denver because of better pay. And a city that has shown the empathy to say we believe that you deserve a right to be able to live in a city, to live in the metro region, to afford decent housing. You know, I want you to understand this is a step that's a part of this broader agenda that as a city we have pushed for. We have addressed the issues of helping to build small business. No city has been a greater booster than developing small businesses than the city of Denver. We've moved forward boldly to address affordable housing. There aren't very many cities who have come up to where Denver is. You can count them on the number of hands who have committed hundreds of millions of dollars on the affordable housing side. You know what? It doesn't matter if you work on affordable housing if people cannot afford to even get into that affordable housing. And so the wages, when we talk about displacement and gentrification, wages are a critical component of making sure people can live comfortably in their communities and to not be displaced and to take care of their families. This is critical. And as Councilwoman Kanish pointed out, as I have come from a family that was economically challenged, watching my mother work two, sometimes three jobs just to keep a roof over our heads. We can do a better job than that as a society in this moment of prosperity and keep the economy moving forward by having happy workers. And I think you'll see other cities ultimately begin to move in that direction as well.
The $15 minimum wage movement has been going on for a while, but $15 isn't worth as much now as it used to be, and it won't be worth as much in 2021 as it is now. Yeah. So why not start higher? And that's one question. The second part of the question is, I'm looking at this chart. Have you guys figured out that the wage will actually track with housing growth so that these things will eventually all come together?
Thank you very much for the question. So the bill, the state bill allows us to raise the wage no more than 15% in a given year, and our proposal for 20 and 21 is maximizing that. So we could not legally, under the state legislation, raise the wage any higher in 20 or 21. So just to refresh again, $13.80 in 2020, that's 15% above the $12 state minimum wage, for those of you doing the math. And then $15.87, 15% above $13.80, y'all following along. And then in 2022, we will begin using the Consumer Price Index each year. So to give you a sense, that Consumer Price Index, you know, over the last 20 years has averaged 2% and change. So we might be looking at anywhere from 20 to 40 cents a year in increases. So we will see what the housing market does. You know, we don't know that, I thought Adam said it well, this will not get folks caught up in one fell swoop. It's about beginning that process and ensuring that the wage grows over time. One of the things about city council legislation is if we need to look at it and adjust it over time, we have the power to do that, but we can't exceed the state law.
Yeah, and I gotta tell you, that's the power of this moment. We didn't have the control to do that. And that's why what Representative Danielson did for, and the legislature did for municipalities, is to remain competitive, and the ability to adjust is necessary. Let me also acknowledge the fact that we also built into this effort a tracking mechanism to understand, so that we can evaluate and analyze the impact of our increasing the minimum wage, and we'll do that on an ongoing basis. And so I want to acknowledge the partnership with the City Center, with the University of Colorado Denver. Norbert Chavez was here. He was a guy in the very unique cowboy hat, not Tim Sandoz. He was here, but we want to thank them for joining us in this partnership. So just know we're going to be monitoring this going forward.
You have a
press card?
First of all, I would like to appreciate...
Why don't you come down so they can hear you.
Thank you. First of all, I would like to appreciate the city council. Really thinking more than the members, the workers in Denver, and also always fighting for our rights. The minimum wage for now is not an easy. This is the first era in my perspective. And also, we appreciate you, the dedicated, really, city council, and also we stand with you. And at the same time, my question is, really, in order to change the economy status of this Denver, nowadays the apartment is everywhere is too expensive. People cannot afford to rent. It's more than $1,500 a month for one bedroom. What do you, your perspective regarding to adjust in order to just uniform, have a uniformity in Denver regarding the apartment? Thank you.
So on the, thank you, Yamane, as a member of SEIU Local 105. Thank you for being here. So we have a robust set of housing proposals, and if you know, we can maybe talk after the press conference if folks have questions about those. But the question about rent is not something the city is able to do. So it's not a proposal that we can have about controlling or adjusting rent increases. But we're proud to be able to work on the wage piece of this, and we'd love to follow up with you afterwards more about the housing piece.
All right. Thank you all for being here. Thank you all.
Thank you.